Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
All righty, let's talk to Alan Meriden. Hi, Al.
How are you doing?
What's happening?
The 25-year sentence, I'm going to say 10 to 15 at the max. He's going to be out, no doubt about it. The whole thing was a big scam. You run by a bunch of young kids. If they had been smart and pulled a lot of their profits out and put it into conventional investments, gold, silver, utilities, things like that, they wouldn't have gone down the tubes. But no, they just basically kept on figuring out how much can we suck out of here. And that's what
yes, but part of that was moving the money sideways into another venture that they controlled, right? So that they were separating the risk from the people who had given them the money. And they separated them from the upside as well, I guess.
Yeah, but again, they still were siphoning off money. It's interesting, though, you're debating about the cryptocurrency versus the dollar versus what have you.
Yeah, what's your thought on that?
Well, my thoughts are this. If you got money in the bank and the grid goes down, all of a sudden we can't get to our money. If you got a $10 bill in your pocket, it's still a $10 bill. Mm-hmm. If you got cryptocurrency, you're going to be locked out completely, just like you're getting out of your account. In your bank.
You mean if we cease to be a civilization that has electricity? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. I mean, think about it. Let's say we got a tropical storm that hits Connecticut and the power lines go down. You're not going to use your bank. You're not going to use your credit card. You're not going to be able to do anything. If you got cash in your pocket, you'll be able to buy something as long as you can find someplace that has
So what you're saying is that crypto is the equivalent of our paychecks being direct deposited into our bank accounts. We never see the cash.
True, but again, crypto is invisible. It's you can't eat it, you can't touch it, you can't buy clothes for it, you can't do anything with it.
That's true.
I mean, really, what you can do with it, nothing. You're basically buying space.
Yes, but money has that same potential. It's a little different. But it does have the ability to have the rug get pulled right out from under it while we're thinking it's worth A, it goes to Z.
True.
And that part of it is that part of it we don't accept, which is why I think we're having this discussion. Thank you, sir. 860-522-9842. Rant's coming up. More phone calls and traffic right now. Mark Christopher in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Be careful because rain messes with drivers' heads and their ability to control a car more than anything else, I think.
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
TIC, it's time for rants. 860-522-9842. Well, Reese on the radio joining us in about a half an hour. Adam's in East Hartford. Hi, Adam.
Todd, I want to speak about Joel Lieberman. I was at a Brad Davis listener luncheon some 20 years ago, and I met him. It was funny. It was when he was running as an independent against that dirty, filthy Ned Lamont. And I came in with a black jacket on, a white shirt, and a U.S. flag tie, and he says, "You must be a Republican."
Yeah.
It was a nice meeting with him. I chatted with him for a little bit, and that was about it, you know?
What was the significance to you of the his comment?
It always seems like the Republicans seem to be the flag-waving ones, because I was at my high school reunion in 2001. I came in with a never-forget pin that work gave us, and a U.S. flag tie and a U.S. flag pin. And he says, oh, here he comes in with all his Republican garb, said one of the guys that was taking the tickets for the reunion, you know.
Well, all right, Adam. Thank you for the call.
Have a great day.
You have a great day as well. 860-522-9842. Was Joe Lieberman more Republican or more Democrat? And is his persona is, my perception of Lieberman is that he was a more sincere politician than politicians are today. I feel like those senators had more gravitas than the ones who currently hold those seats. What are your thoughts? 860-522-9842. Is that accurate? I didn't have the kind of, intense contact with their daily remarks that I do today. I'd like your perception. Joe Lieberman, better than what's going on right now? 860-522-9842. A little response to that. And it's the rant line hour. So we will mix playing rants with taking calls. Let's talk to Sean in New Britain. Hello, Sean.
Hey, thanks so much for what you do. I really appreciate your station and everything you do.
Thanks for letting me do it. It requires,
I know we pay the bills, so to speak.
Yeah.
My dad, former Mayor William J. McNamara of New Britain, Connecticut. My dad inherited the city in 77, and it was not a very good place. And mm-hmm. within 8 years, Ronald Reagan was on Main Street. That's what a good dad I had, or what a
wow.
great mayor he was. Yeah, for sure.
So you were hanging around with Ronald Reagan?
No, Joe Lieberman. Ronald Reagan put out his feelers, so to speak, Reaganomics, mm-hmm. what theaters are booming and so forth. So sent a whole bunch of people up into the New England area, landed in one of them happened to land in my father's office. And my father was a Democratic mayor, also conservative. But when we were kids, I'm 57 now. When we were kids, we had such people as Al Grasso, Senator Nancy Johnson, Joe Lieberman, Jack Clark Kemp, to name a few, in the mayor's office. So I grew up in this political field of things.
Okay.
And Joe Lieberman, for me, because I mean, I was just a kid, and I thought he was just a great guy. I mean, we were just kids. I think I was about like between 12 and 16 when this whole mix was going on. And he was just, what a wonderful person. As far as the guy, the crypto guy, I think that if you steal over $2,000 from a person, it's a felony. I believe. I'm not really sure. I've never been arrested. But and that's upwards of 1 year in prison. So 1 year for every person he ripped off. However, buyer beware, if I give you money and I say, here's $1,000, and you say, oh, I'll give you $1,500 tomorrow, isn't that my fault as well?
That's a really interesting thing that you're suggesting there, Sean. I thank you for that. 860-522-9842, Dave in Brantford. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, on Joe Lieberman, briefly, I didn't know we were going to go there, but I saw him in a relative's house a couple of times. Very earthy, down to earth, nothing like Blumenthal, you know, with the camera always aiming for the camera with the glib answer. Lieberman was nothing like that. You always had the feeling he told you exactly what he was thinking and was not no guile at all. It was just excellent, the earthiness. And a guy named Arthur Barbieri, who was the Democrat town, you know, he ran the power structure in the city of New Haven for about 20 years. And Joe was one of the politicians they gave birth to back, you know, in his attorney general and state Senate days. And this is interesting because we live in Connecticut. We don't really see anti-Jewishness. You know, we elect Jews like it's nothing. And he was very concerned that the country generally would not accept Joe Lieberman when he was appointed as the vice presidential candidate. And it's funny how blind we in the room were that, you know, Joe Lieberman was a very observant Jew. And it just rolls off our back, you know, because we're used to it. And I never really realized how much the country might not accept a Jew until this Arthur Barbieri, who was very proud of Joe, you know, thought, you know, we're glad he's there, but I hope it doesn't wreck the candidacy because he's Jewish. And I never really saw that that was a problem until.
But did it turn out to be one, do you think?
No, I don't think it did. And to be honest, when it comes to the candidates, I was kind of hoping Joe. Joe might have caused me to vote for his No Labels party just because, you know, I'm a right-wing Republican. But the honesty and the personality, the kind I think we need more of, was so in Joe's favor that I think I might have voted for, you know, I don't want to have to vote for Trump a third time, but that's where I am at the moment. But nobody deserves to be voted for three times in a row for president. And you know, Lieberman, it's really too bad. I really felt a lot worse than I thought when I heard it announced last night.
Well, thank you for that, Dave.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Let's talk to Ron in Bristol. Hi, Ron.
In Bristol?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I had the pleasure back in 2006, one of my tennis cronies, Tom Morrow from Bristol Community Organization, hooked me up whether Bristol will still have that particular case they were shipping us out when it came to some, you know, a court system or whatever. So what happened is I met Lieberman at a Social Security type get together.
Okay. What happened?
He had lost at the time. Apparently he thought he had lost to that Lamont, and he was running as an independent. And I remember telling him, you didn't lose. You're not a loser. You didn't quit. And sure enough, he beat, Ned Lamont.
Yes, sir. I wish he'd kept doing that.
No. it was phenomenal. I met him and his wife, Adasa, at the time at the, it turns out our Social Security office was moved out of Bristol at the time. That was his venture there. But back with, you know, the election 2 week conclusion, when it came to
I'm sorry, the election what?
When they won the popular vote with Al Gore.
Yeah.
It was somewhat of a fiasco with that, the Chad system in Florida.
Also with the Supreme Court, it was a little questionable, the whole thing. But, you know, it was essentially a tie election. It was so close that it was beyond the ability of the system, I think, to cope with it. And it came down to a political wrestling match.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I have to admit, Al Gore and Lieberman were good losers.
They were.
Amicable.
They were very gracious about the whole thing. Ron, nice to hear from you. Thank you, sir. 860-522-9842. Let's play a couple rants.
Hi, Todd. Well, I know. Trump came out with publishing Bibles. I get it. But what people fail to remember is, you got Harris going around quoting the Bible. So what's the difference? Later.
Well, what's the big deal with Trump and the Bibles anyway? You know, that's politics. Politics is a pretty superficial game.
Hey, Todd, regarding to the bridge collapse, the latest information I've heard, it appears that the people that are missing were the construction crew that was working on top of the bridge.
That's true.
And that's sad. That's bad. But my point is the fact that between what the pilot did, who was operating the vessel, and his mayday call to the local enforcement police departments and such, that they closed the bridges down so that nobody who died was anybody who was traveling over the bridge at that particular time. And I think they deserve some credit.
Well, maybe. I'm not in a hurry to give a lot of credit out because I think the political people want to create heroic stories to distract us. And I want to see the facts develop over time.
Dave from Waterbury. These liberals drive me crazy. Why should the taxpayers have to pay for a $1 billion bridge to be rebuilt? The cargo ship hit it. They should be insured. They should pay for it. Thank you.
Simple as that. Why not? Joe in Hartford. Hi.
There's no call screener. Nobody to say anything to me.
You're on the air. I'm saying something to you. Hi.
Oh, hi. Hi. My name's Pat. I'm from Coventry.
Oh, hi, Pat.
I got an interesting Joe Lieberman story. So,
yes, sir.
Operation Desert Storm, 1991. After I was in a Marine Corps Reserve unit that was activated, and we fought in Desert Storm, and the fighting was over, and we were in southern Saudi Arabia, Joe Lieberman showed up to our unit. The whole unit was based out of Connecticut, out of the Plainville Armory.
Well, that's cool.
And yeah, and he had no media with him, that he wasn't using us as a photo op, which was very refreshing. And he had an aide that had a notebook and was taking notes, and when he got back to the States, they were sending messages to friends and family letting him know, they saw us and, we're alive and healthy and all that good stuff. And Joe promised us each a case of beer when we got home, and sure enough, when we got back to the armory in Plainville, the Budweiser truck was waiting for us as soon as we turned in our weapons. He could have gotten in trouble for that because I was only 19 at the time.
What a great story. That's wonderful. Yeah. I like that he was shooting small. So he was doing it the hard way, not running around looking to be in front of the camera. Blumenthal jumps in front of other people's photo ops and steals the limelight. But what Lieberman was doing in the story you're telling is he was doing it the old-fashioned way. He was earning the respect of constituents by providing constituent services. He was trying to represent his state. And that's a great thing.
Yeah, it was nice of him to do that, especially to, his aide took down a whole lot of notes, because, there was about 150 of us. And, phone calls or messages to our friends and family to let them know that we're all okay.
He was looking to be part of the community and to make the people feel that they had a representative in the United States government. And that's what the job is. So that's good stuff. Thank you for sharing that, Joe. 860-522-9842. That's a real live United States senator doing politics the way it was meant to be done, I think. Tell me if I'm wrong. 860-522-9842. Rant line number 860-751-4698. We have more rants to play, more phone calls to take. We've got Reese on the radio coming our way.
Miss something from the top?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
on Feinberg Show, don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, hey, it's WTIC. Let's talk to Mike in Colebrook. Reese on the radio coming up soon. Hey, Mike.
Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking my call. I was just prompted to call you because of all the information about Mr. Lieberman.
Mm-hmm.
A little anecdote might not mean anything to anybody else, but it sure hit home after I knew he died. But I joined the military when I was 17 and had to get my father to sign me in. And I swapped my cap and gown for Army Green. And I was called into the first sergeant's office while I was in basic training. I wasn't there for a month. And the first sergeant asked me if I wanted to go to West Point. And I was already a squad leader. So I said, no, sir, I want to go back. No, first sergeant. I want to go back to my troops. So I spent the rest of the cycle in basic training, went to my MOS. And when I got to permanent party, I had already volunteered for airborne school, so I had that under my belt. And I was called into the first sergeant's office again a year later. And I didn't know who, because I didn't file for it. I didn't put in for it. And I didn't find out until 2017 when I was taking some extra courses that I had to get my transcript from my high school. Joe Lieberman is the one that sponsored me, because you can't apply to West
Point. To go to West Point. Why did he want to do that for you?
I don't know, sir. That's why I'm calling you. If somebody knows how that works, I don't know how that works. But
what a fascinating thing.
You're the second person, and then I told my girlfriend about this morning when she was on her way to work. You're the second person that I've told this to in the last 30 years.
Well, now you've told a bunch more, not just me. So that's right.
So I don't know how.
What a great story that is.
So I you asked if he was a Democrat or a Republican. I knew he was a Democrat, but he didn't know I was anything.
Mm-hmm. He didn't care, in other words.
Just a great American.
Yeah. Somebody must have told him a story about you. Maybe he heard that story about what you did the first time you came in.
I was one of those guys that you were talking about with babies yesterday, that I don't have children because I'm a psychopath. I volunteered for special forces. I volunteered for a ranger school. I volunteered for everything I possibly could.
Wow. That's a great story, Mike. I'm sorry I've got to hold you right there, but thank you so much for sharing that. Really appreciate it. Mark Christopher is waiting for us in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Mark, we got a good story with those extra seconds. Thank you for sharing them.
It's Todd Feinberg. It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
News Talk 1080. That little echo in the background, I like that. I wish I could do that to my voice. Reese on the radio is here. Hello there, Reese.
I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
We are rocking and rolling today. A lot of in the public square, you know, our jobs of talking. There's just so much energy these days, Reese. Have you noticed?
It is, and I think it has everything to do with the fact that everyone has an opportunity to be involved, because it's right at your fingertips 24 hours a day, no matter where you are or what you're doing. It's on your phone. It's on your tablet. You know, there used to be a time in life where we had to wait for the evening news to know what was going on, even in our own community.
That's so funny to think about, but it's true.
I laugh at some of the people. There's so many guys that I get into arguments with who, because it comes at such a fast pace, you can only grab the headlines in some cases, or you get like a 2 to 3 minute story about whatever's happening in the world. And I always refer to them, much like Limbaugh used to call it drive-by news, I used to say drive-by news viewers. And I would laugh and say, look, most people watch the evening news, even their local news, for traffic and weather. That's kind of, you know, how people watch the news. I almost feel after September 11th that everyone knew everything about places they had never heard of. Like, I remember talking to people who were not very worldly, knowing things about Afghanistan that, you know, they never knew before. You know, it's like,
and Pakistan.
You became this informed person, if not even by your own volition. It was like you were forced to get to know these places around the world, even if you didn't have the education for it or didn't have a regular interest in it. You just know it now.
Yeah, we get introduced to the concepts and we're familiar, but as you're saying, we don't necessarily get a lot of substance because the news gets away with just giving us trivial stuff and like weather. You notice that on the newscast now, like the national newscasts, they do the same thing. They think a storm is the most exciting thing that's ever happened to us. And then that we are really impacted when they tell us how many millions of people are in the track of a hurricane or something. I don't care how many millions of people. There's always been hurricanes. And then they'll predict stuff about us. You know, the Northeast is going to be under so many inches of water and it's going to be coming down 4 inches an hour. And it's just a normal day. I don't know what they're talking about.
It's so funny. One of the other things I always noticed was, there was a movie directed by Ron Howard. It starred Michael Keaton and Glenn Close. It was called The Paper. Do you remember that?
I don't remember it, and I love Michael Keaton.
Okay, so do I. And this movie, I mean, we're talking about heavy hitters. Robert Duvall, Randy Quaid. There's a lot of, like, big names in this film. But directed by Ron Howard, Marissa Tomei, and Michael Keaton plays this writer for a tabloid newspaper, and he's supposed to get a job with the New York Times or a Times-like organization. So he's moving up in the world. But he loves the tabloid news. And there's this great scene in the beginning of the film where all of the writers are all together talking about the events they're about to cover. And there was an attack, I believe, in Jerusalem, a suicide bombing event in Jerusalem in the movie. And I remember them covering it, talking about whether or not there was someone locally who was affected by what took place in the country. And I remember that part was integral to me, and I was just going, why were they so they seemed to be more interested in the story if they could attach someone locally who had been affected by whatever that story was. And that got the lead in their newspaper because, again, there was the association. And I didn't understand that very early in my life about how the news worked by using that as the get to get the audience paying attention, that someone from our area was involved in that incident.
Well, you know, there, when I was right out of college, I was working in a radio newsroom as a newscaster. And that was the thing. You tried to, and it occurred to me that that's what you do to avoid having to actually do any reporting. You take a national story, you call up your, say, local congressman or somebody else who has working knowledge on a local level, and you get them to comment, and then you have a soundbite in the news story from somebody local, and you've localized it, and that makes the local audience apparently feel like they're getting local news.
Yeah, isn't that wild? That's just so wild. But I almost feel like that's the sort of bait and switch, right? So I remember, you know, I remember the old saying, like, if it bleeds, it leads, and all of that stuff. So when I started working in radio, I started really paying attention to how news stories were just the formation of a story. Mm-hmm. What was the interesting part? What was the leading, what was the headline versus what was the sub-headline? And why that was important to the story? And then, you know, even now people talk about the headline will be something absolutely nonsensical. And the meat of that part would be posted in the 14th paragraph of the story, and it would be like maybe two or three words or two or three sentences in the whole thing, and that's what they based the headline off of.
Yeah,
and I thought that was so disingenuous in news. Like, what? Like, it's what made people, and I think it would really hurt news gathering and news receiving. I think that we created that divide between people, and now, you know, the way we live now, we have so many places to get news. It's almost impossible to get someplace that you trust. More and more people are focusing on, hey, we're the news that you can trust. And I think it's because they know that you can't trust them.
Well, you can't trust any news, because as the outlets that report news, that present it, are expanding, you know, by multiples, they keep getting bigger. And the number of people who are actually sending reporters out to learn facts that make the story shrinks. So it all gets more precarious, and they have to find a way to differentiate themselves, which generally has to do with the bias they put into the news rather than what they generate for content on their own.
I had a very simplistic way. I did one of my shows about this, and I used to remember James Earl Jones doing the promo for CNN, you know, where America goes for news, or the news that people trust.
Mm-hmm.
But I particularly paid attention to Fox News's monikers, like, "We report, you decide." And my response to that is it angers me that anyone would say, "We report, you decide." My biggest problem was, you shouldn't have to tell people to decide. You should just report. "You decide" almost gives the impression that someone should or might believe you, or they don't believe you, right? Like, you know, you say "you report, you decide." Look, when I learned in my journalism class in junior high school, and yes, we did have one.
That's cool.
And I remember the teacher saying to us that the tenets of reporting is who, what, when, where, and why. And then he stopped and said, "And you only report why when you know why." But there are too many reporters out there who are reporting the why first. And the first time I saw that in real time was after the shooting of Trayvon Martin in 2013. The writer's name was Matt Guzman of ABC News. On his Twitter, he wrote, "George Zimmerman shoots Trayvon Martin because he was black."
And come on.
I couldn't believe he wrote it.
And that is terrible.
It took me back to junior high school, and I went, it was only 2 days after the shooting, and Matt Guzman, or Guzman, had already surmised why the shooting took place.
Well, wait a sec.
He never took it down.
It's 11 years ago, and we still can't say that.
I know. I'll never forget it. When it popped up, a friend of mine showed it to me. It said that ABC News approved him writing this.
Well, how do we know he wrote that headline as opposed to there being a headline writer?
It was his Twitter. It was on his Twitter feed.
Oh, his Twitter feed. Okay.
Well,
so he was putting his opinion. Yeah, he must have been putting his opinion on there. That's terrible.
It blew my mind. It still blows my mind that he wrote that. And again, no one knew the story. There was no real, you know, we knew that the shooting had taken place. But when he decided to write that, I just went, it brought me right back to junior high school. And I was going, this is what journalism has become. But now they've done the nice switch, though. This is my favorite part of it. So now the news media will report a story and bring on an analyst to the story so that the analyst can tell why it may have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what. So they get away with the, you know, breaking, you know, touching the third rail, because it'll just be, yesterday the story about Donald Trump selling Bibles, and that story was, let's not talk about why he's selling Bibles. Let's get an analyst on there to tell why they think he's selling Bibles, and that becomes everyone's narrative. Did you hear that Donald Trump's selling Bibles because he can't pay his legal bills? And I'm just like, that's not even the story.
Imagine how many Bibles he would have to sell.
Exactly. It's a $55 Bible. I'm like, relax. Like, and that's kind of how they can get away with it. another thing, and I'll tell this one briefly. It's still one of my favorite stories. You can look it up in the New York Times. The silverback, but the gorilla named Harambe. Do you remember that?
Oh, I don't. No.
Okay.
Yes. So Harambe, Roland says yes.
So Harambe was a gorilla that was killed by a zookeeper because a 4-year-old boy had gotten into the encampment where the gorilla was.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it was caught on video that he was dragging the little baby around. Anyway, so he was shot and killed. Anyway, so at first, Black Lives Matter wanted to make a beef about it because the gorilla had been killed. And first thing that ran to my mind was, are you comparing black people to a gorilla? You're an idiot. So they immediately took that down. Then they found out that the little boy that was in the encampment was a young black kid, 4-year-old black child.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, everybody flips out. And then the craziest thing happened. The New York Times did an article about the killing of Harambe and then did an expose on the parents of the 4-year-old. And mentioned in the article that the father had done time in jail for selling crack. And I went, wow. What does that have to do with the 4-year-old that was almost hurt by this? Like, they were, trying to, I almost feel like, malign his parents as being bad people, and that's why the child got into it. It was such a smear campaign on the parents. I was like,
yeah, what a weird thing to include. It's like he stole a car when he was in high school. Why are you telling us this?
I couldn't believe it. As I'm reading it, I'm just going, this is the old gray lady reporting the story? It baffled me. But there it was, just crapping on this poor father who wasn't even present at when this took place. And they were doing some of this background to smear them. And I'm like, what? Just say that you're upset that the gorilla had to be killed, but don't say that because his father was a crack dealer that's how their child, like, in other words, making some association. It was awe type situation for me as I read it, and I just went, this is the New York Times. What happened to you people? What's going on? But yeah, I mean, you can still look up the story today. It's quite alarming just to watch it.
The news business is alarming now, mostly for the lack of its existence, actually. The entities that we think of being news, a newscast on TV or a newspaper being dropped on your doorstep or appearing online, we think that's the news, but it really isn't. Like so much of our society today, there's an illusion there.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I'm talking about now is this idea that, you know, trying to call people election deniers. And I've never understood why the media is so invested in what people think. We never had a world where the media was so concerned about the American public and what they believed. For years, we had people who believed that Elvis was still alive. We never attacked them in the way that we attack them now. I remember when Tupac and Biggie died, there were people in the hip-hop community who believed they were still alive. But the media never ran stories about, you know, Tupac deniers. Nobody did that. But today, you got a couple of people who just say, oh, I think the election was rigged. It's like, how can we find a way to destroy their lives? And I'm like, maybe you're too invested in what the media, in what the people believe. And because of that, I think that makes you a little suspect. Because
Reese on the radio.com. How about throwing it to Mark Christopher?
I would love to our esteemed traffic connoisseur, none other than Mark Christopher in the BBS Traffic Center.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.